Going well, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
And so is the Jericho Cup in its infancy still. It's come a long way already, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. It's in its fourth year. So it's my third Jericho Cup now. So it's, it's a magnificent concept and great race to be involved in. And the day itself is, for me, it's like no other race meeting I've ever been to. It's got definitely got a totally different element to combining, obviously, Australia's war history with racing, which is fantastic.
So if we go back a year ago before we talk about this weekend, there were some people, I do recall, watching the coverage and seeing a few tracks on. You did have some people there a year ago, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We got granted 3 days out, actually, to have around the 500 mark last year. So we were in that period of just coming out of lockdown. So, it certainly, the Matilda Room and a few of our indoor larger spaces were able to be utilised, but certainly not the crowd that came in the first year and in that second year where we had a bit of inclement weather. So we're looking very fine on the Sunday at the moment. The weather's looking very favourable, which is great.
So we go from 500 to as many as you want can come along. So just tell us about Sunday, obviously double vaxxed and the regular protocols, but how will the day pan out? Because, as I said, you've timed it perfectly, luck of the draw, the bubble is over, so you can plan a terrific Jericho Cup this Sunday.
Yeah, we can. We've been geared up for an event for a number of weeks to the level of about 5,000, and that's probably what we're equipped to be able to handle on the day. We could possibly get a little bit more than that, but it's pretty tough at the moment in the hospitality industry to find enough casual staff to pull an event together pretty quickly at the moment. So the team here have done an amazing job pulling together the grounds and the course, and we're just setting the facility up for those people that do come, that they'll have a very enjoyable day out at racing at Warrnambool.
Okay, that's a very good point. We like to cover issues like that so people across the industry get a bit of a perspective. I never really thought of that. We hear of cafes, we hear of, restaurants and those sort of things opening up, struggling to find some casual workers. But we think about race clubs, events, and as you say, you can't employ someone to be serving in a marquee all year round. You only have a couple of events that will take place, but suddenly when you can have thousands at your racetrack this weekend, you've got to find people to serve them. So aside from all of your cousins, your family and neighbours doing that work, you have to find people in a workforce. So is it a challenge? Will it change? Have you got people? Or
I'm hoping it changes. It has been a challenge, definitely. It's quite interesting. The expectation on event managers, with the opening up and the changing and swapping of restrictions and the likes, and people out there in, certain pockets of the media think that you can just put on an event in a week's notice for 10,000 people. It's not as easy as it sounds, but we've got a pretty loyal core group here that do an amazing job pulling together our events, and the bars, staff, and the likes, we're exactly no different to the cafe or the local pub down the road, trying to pull the same people to come and work casually, and hopefully once things open up, that workforce can get back on its feet and start to be easier to find out there in the community.
Interesting stuff. We're chatting to Tom O'Connor this Sunday, as we know, is the Jericho Cup. Now, it's the last one that will be under the guidance of your club, is that correct? Or the transition to RV taking it over? What does that mean for you as the chief executive in the Warrnambool Club?
Yeah, interesting take, Andrew. The only thing our RV will be doing taking over is the prize money. So the club itself, nothing changes from our management point of view of the event and driving it. The thing that will change is obviously Bill Gibbons, who founded the concept and has been the driver and the leader and the passion behind the Jericho Cup, obviously had an initial 4-year commitment to the event to get it off the ground, and has done an amazing job in doing that. And behind the scenes, the club, along with Bill, through the support of Racing Victoria, has obviously been looking to secure Bill's commitment, which has been the prize money component. And that's what Racing Victoria will pick up in years, in the future years. And obviously the club will continue to work closely with Bill. Bill certainly won't be lost to the event at all. He'll still have an active role in supporting us and driving us to make the Jericho Cup as big as we can make it.
And what about the ceremony? I think over recent years you've chosen different types of history to be honoured. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but how do you frame what is becoming a very important part of the day?
Yeah, look, obviously there's the 9 races, and attached to each of the 9 races is a particular war story, and the one that changes on an annual basis is around the charge to Beersheba, and this year's story is an amazing one again of a soldier who enlisted. He was determined to enlist for World War One as the first individual, and I think he ended up being around the 75th to enrol, and obviously survived World War One and then continued through to World War Two and tried to enlist there at the age of 65. So just these amazing stories that come out of our history that, go untold, is something that Bill has driven the club and driven the racing industry to make sure that we tell them on the day. And certainly any of your listeners out there, Andrew, that are coming along on the day or considering coming along, they won't be disappointed with their on-course experience here at Warrnambool on Sunday.
And always talk about, it's become so successful. Is it in the right time of the year? Are you happy with this date? Would you like it pushed away from some of the city meetings like the Zipping Classic this weekend, or would you like it to be a little bit further into when we have more holidays and warmer weather again? Are you happy with this date, or?
Oh, I would have liked it on the Saturday instead of the Zipping Classic. But that's me as an event manager personally saying that having run events on a weekend where you run on a Saturday to a Sunday is can vary. But look, we're always open to discussing with Racing Victoria and also Bill's thoughts to be considered. At the moment, it's been in a short time. It's been a very successful event on a Sunday. It performs very well from a wagering point of view and plays its role in supporting the industry. So, but again, we're always open. You want to be able to grow your events, and you want to be able to get the stories and the images in front of as many eyes as you can. And aligning it to a significant day, certainly something that I'd certainly be happy to be talking about.
And going forward, you have a meeting Thursday, the 9th of December, and then into the new year, you have the meeting for Koroit on the 9th of January, Port Fairy the 20th of January. I'm again trying to recall what happened this time almost a year ago now, but were they successful? Were they with limited crowds, and will you step up a notch for those local communities this time in?
Yeah, they were limited. They certainly started to open up over those events, over those days. I remember last year the Koroit Cup was a fantastic day. We're in the middle of that too, Andrew. We can't forget that we've got our tenant club, Woodford, that race on New Year's Eve that we support pretty heavily. And that event certainly this year will open right up and, get some normality back and get, people back on course enjoying themselves socially in the community.
Have a great Sunday, the Jericho Cup. Fantastic to see it with a full crowd on track. And thanks for taking the call, Tom.
Thanks, Andrew.